In 1956, an ambitious trucking entrepreneur named Malcolm McLean loaded 58 metal containers onto a converted tanker ship called the Ideal X. This seemingly mundane event would transform the global economy in ways no one could have imagined. The shipping container, nothing more than a standardized steel box, would go on to reshape cities, decimate traditional port communities, enable just-in-time manufacturing, and make modern globalization possible. What makes this story particularly fascinating is that containerization wasn't planned by governments or international organizations. It emerged organically through entrepreneurial vision and relentless economic pressure, overcoming fierce resistance from those whose livelihoods it threatened. The simple metal box would trigger a cascade of unintended consequences that fundamentally altered human civilization. Before containerization, ports were inefficient places, frozen in time. In the early 1950s, cargo handling remained virtually unchanged since Victorian times. Longshoremen manually loaded and unloaded everything from banana stems to steel coils, keeping ships idle in ports for half their operational lives. Dock work was exceptionally dangerous. Injury rates were triple those in construction, with New York alone recording over 2,200 serious accidents in 1 year. Waterfront communities were close-knit. In Manchester, 54% lived within a mile of the docks, while in Antwerp, 58% of dock workers were sons of dock workers. Malcolm McLean, a self-made trucking magnate from North Carolina, became shipping's revolutionary. Starting with one borrowed trailer in 1934, he built McLean Trucking into the eighth largest U.S. truck line by 1954. McLean's obsession with cutting costs led him in 1953 to conceive putting truck trailers on ships. He later realized that carrying just trailer bodies without wheels would save space and allow stacking. Analysis showed that shipping's container shipping would be 94% cheaper than traditional methods. After acquiring Waterman Steamship Corporation, McLean launched his first containerized voyage on April 26, 1956. Loading the Ideal X cost just 15.8 cents per ton, compared to $5.83 for loose cargo. While metal cargo boxes had existed for decades, McLean's breakthrough was recognizing that shipping's business was moving cargo, not sailing ships. McLean's team engineered a complete system, not just a container. Keith Tantlinger created crucial innovations, reinforced corner posts for stacking, sloped edge trailer chassis, and the twist lock for securing stacked containers. With massive electric gantry cranes spanning entire ships, container operations completed in hours what traditional ships required a week to accomplish. Despite technological success, Sealand, renamed from McLean's company in 1960, faced challenges. Labor resistance in Puerto Rico forced inefficient arrangements, while maritime culture clashed with containerization. McLean recruited aggressive young executives from trucking who understood the new paradigm. The company culture was demanding. 7-day work weeks, minimal bureaucracy, constant performance measurement, and stock rewards instead of cash bonuses. After initial losses, McLean jumboized World War II tankers to create vessels carrying 476 containers, double existing capacity. Puerto Rico became crucial to Sealand's survival. As the dominant carrier to the island, shipping costs for consumer goods fell 19% over the next decade, making Puerto Rico more attractive for manufacturing. This pattern of containerization, lowering costs, and transforming regional economies would repeat worldwide in subsequent decades. Containerization devastated established port cities while creating opportunities elsewhere. New York, handling one-third of America's seaborne manufactured goods trade in the early 1950s, was particularly vulnerable. The port employed over 100,000 people, with Brooklyn especially dependent, as 13% of borough jobs were on the docks. As containerization arrived, the Port Authority developed New Jersey's waterfront, notably Port Elizabeth, a 450-acre development that became the largest port project in U.S. history. Meanwhile, New York City wasted resources trying to preserve its obsolete shipping infrastructure. Between 1967-1976, the city lost a fourth of its factories and one-third of manufacturing jobs. Brooklyn's population fell 14% between 1971-1980, with declining personal income for 8 consecutive years. Dock workers' unions initially resisted containerization before adapting. Harry Bridges of the ILWU negotiated the landmark Mechanization and Modernization Agreement in 1960, eliminating unnecessary labor requirements in exchange for retirement benefits and income guarantees. Productivity rose 41% in 5 years. The ILA's Teddy Gleason secured the Guaranteed Annual Income Program, where employers paid container royalties to ensure qualified longshoremen received 1,600 hours of annual pay regardless of available work. These arrangements established that employers profiting from automation should share benefits with displaced workers. Despite these economic protections, containerization erased waterfront culture. Traditional skills lost value, family job succession ended, and the camaraderie of established gangs disappeared. The Vietnam War unexpectedly accelerated containerization through a critical logistical crisis. South Vietnam in 1965 had minimal infrastructure, just one deep water port, broken railroad, and mostly unpaved highways. As troops surged, the supply chain collapsed. Ships anchored offshore waited up to 30 days for cargo transfers. By Thanksgiving 1965, 45 ships operated in Vietnamese ports, while 75 more waited offshore or in the Philippines. Malcolm McLean secured permission to assess the situation and established a foothold with an army trucking contract. Sealand won a $70 million contract in March 1967 to provide complete container logistics. The efficiency proved remarkable. General Besson later calculated the military could have saved $882 million between 1965-1968 if containerization had been implemented from the start. McLean strategically leveraged the Vietnam operation to enter the Japanese market. With westbound ships full of military cargo but returning empty, adding a Japan stop created nearly pure profit. By late 1968, the Japan West Coast route, which had no container service before September 1967, suddenly had 7 competing companies, triggering an unexpected cargo boom. The container fundamentally transformed the global economy. As freight costs plummeted, manufacturers began outsourcing components rather than producing everything in-house. This disintegrated production allowed specialized suppliers to achieve economies of scale while adopting the latest technologies. Just-in-time manufacturing, pioneered by Toyota, eliminated large inventories and spread globally by the mid-1980s. By 2004, U.S. non-farm inventories were approximately $1 trillion lower than 1980s levels, saving businesses $80 to $90 billion annually. Modern trade became dominated by intermediate goods moving through global supply chains. Barbie exemplifies this. Her production involved Chinese workers using American molds and Japanese machines, with materials from multiple Asian countries and America. Containerization shaped global supply chains in unexpected ways. Distance matters less than volume. Doubling shipping distance only raises costs by about 18%, while places with high container traffic enjoy lower shipping costs per box. This created winners and losers, with the Pacific Rim becoming the world's consumer goods workshop, partly due to its large container ports offering some of the world's lowest shipping costs. Experts consistently misjudged containerization's impact, failing to anticipate how it would enable worldwide economic restructuring and vastly increase trade. Their 1960 studies projected growth based only on existing patterns, missing the revolution to come. The container's logic proved irresistible. Half a century after the Ideal X, the equivalent of 300 million 20-foot containers cross the world's oceans annually. This simple metal box changed everything, proving that sometimes the most revolutionary innovations are the most mundane.